All right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And then 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10. And once you found your place there, if you're able to stand, stand with me. Amen. We're going to read Philippians area first. And then we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. That's going to be our topic of study tonight. Again, Sunday, we're getting into stewardship. So it's fitting that we're talking about money tonight. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. And we'll read 14 and 15. And then we'll go to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Again, tonight's topic is standing against moving money. Moving money, amen. All right, well, let's read together. Philippians 2, verse 14 says, together, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Of course, that's been our subject matter on the Wednesday nights, talking about standing in this wicked world, standing against this crooked culture, but standing for our Christian culture. And notice what the Bible says, we should do things without murmuring and disputing. Why? Verse 15, so that you and I can be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, or Godlike, without rebuke. No one can say anything against us in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So we're standing in the middle of them. And it says, among whom we should what? Shine as lights in the world. Amen. Now back over in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Read that with me. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Amen. We're going to open up a can of worms tonight about money, and I hope y'all don't get mad at me. Amen. Use the worms for fishing and you'll be fine. Amen. Father, we thank you once again for loving us. Lord, help us as we stand against this crooked culture and stand in our Christian culture, Lord. We thank God for what we've learned thus far. Bless in the next several moments that we have together as we look at this topic, standing against moving money. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're looking at seven things that we need to stand for in our Christian culture and against in our cricket culture. Seven things. What were those seven things? We talked about marriage, morality, magazines, money, movies and media and music. And these things, we said, are pushing down on our Christian culture. And they're pushing in on us, trying to give us a mentality and a mindset. And they want us to do something. The Bible says that you and I should make sure that we do everything without murmuring and disputing. Why? So that we can shine as lights in this crooked and perverse nation. So we're not going to go out and picket Hollywood and say, down with bad movies, amen. We're not going to get on television and talk about the media. We're not going to do those things, amen. We're just going to shine as lights. Amen. We're just going to do what's right by God, amen. And when you do right by God, guess what? You shine as a light. I gave this illustration before. The lights are silent, but guess what? They give off a lot of light, don't they? Amen. Brother Shane, turn the light switch off back there by the chairs. Lights didn't say a thing, but guess what happens when the lights go out? Amen. Turn the light back on. Anybody hear any noise besides the click? Amen. See, when you and I shine anywhere, we don't always have to say something. The Bible says, among whom ye shine as lights. You don't always have to be vocal. Sometimes you need to be vocal. Amen. But you don't always have to be vocal. Sometimes just letting your light shine. What does the Bible say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Amen. Sometimes we do need to say something. Sometimes we need to do something. And we talked about those seven things in our crooked culture. So far, we talked about the modern marriage and what it's done. We talked about mad morality in magazines and what it's done. Tonight, we're talking about moving money. Amen. And we've already looked at those other things. Amen. And we want to shine as lights in the world in this area of moving money. By the way, money can be moving because we need it to survive. Amen. I'm going to explain to you what that means in just a minute. It can make us move from that which we know is right by God. Somebody say amen. Money can make you move. Amen. Hey, you know, somebody offered you $1 million, Fred, to go streak at the Super Bowl. Would you do it? He wouldn't do it. Some people would. Christian folk would say, $1 million to streak, amen. They might put me in jail, but I'll go and wave a flag on top of that. Money will make you do some foolish stuff, and it'll make you get out of the will of God. Amen. Y'all laugh. I would say that a lot of the people that did do that probably were dared to do it for free. That's bad. But when you and I look at this idea of standing against moving money in this crooked culture, money can make you do some strange things. And so we need money to survive, but it can make us move from that which we know is right by God. And so this is another area of these seven M's the devil tries to use against you and I to get the world's mentality on us and against us. By the way, the word moving means this: going in a specific direction. It means to change positions. How many people have changed their position on Christianity or the Bible or their stand over money? Amen. It means this: on the go, to be on the go. Moving also means to change or cause to change from one state of mind or opinion about something. Amen. Hey, maybe I didn't think it was so bad, but now I think it is really bad. Or maybe I thought it was bad, but now I don't think it's so bad. What am I saying? Moving means going in a specific direction, to change my position, to be on the go, to change or cause to change from one state of mind or opinion about something. Now, let me ask this question. What is it about money that can move us? What is it about money that can move us? Power? What else? What is it about money that can move us? The power that it brings? Job? What else about money that can move us? Security. Amen. Brother Duffy. Possessions. Amen. And all these things are true. Now, you have to ask the one that is moving and ask them why they moved with the money. Amen. Now, by the way, are some ways that money moves us good? Yes, some ways are good. Are some ways money moves us bad? Now, here's the $1 million question. When is it bad? When is it bad? Exactly. When money moves you away from the will of God, it is bad. Because God has a will for your life. And when money moves you out, nothing wrong with money. By the way, did Jesus use money to pay for temple taxes? Yes, he did. He told Peter, go catch a fish and in the mouth you'll find a coin. Pay for us. Amen. Did God command Israel to bring money into the temple? Yes, he did. And so if something was wrong with it, God wouldn't have commanded them to bring it in if something was wrong with the money. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with the money. People say, well, money is the root of all evil. Money ain't got nothing to do with evil. Amen. It's what people do. Just like people say, well, guns are evil. When's the last time you saw a gun just jump up and shoot somebody? Nobody? I mean, tell me, pretend this is a gun. Look at it. All right. Pretend this is a gun. All right. Here we go. More visual. All right. Say, looking at a napkin. Amen. Can this shoot anybody? No. Can this even squirt itself? No. Guess what has to happen? Somebody's got to put some pressure on there, pull the trigger, and squirt that thing out. Amen. Clean my hands up on top of that. And so there's nothing evil in and of it, of the gun. It's the person holding the gun. And so it is with money. It's nothing. Fred, do you need money? Yeah. Brother Serge, you need money? Say, yeah, a little bit. Amen. Yeah, hey, by the way, if you don't give your landlord or the mortgage company some money, guess what? You're going to be out on your duff. No, I'm not talking about you, Brother Duffy. Amen. You're going to be out. Hey, if you don't pay the car, car payment, car registration, you go in and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, give me some money. How about if I just give you a fish? No. You and I need money. So it is not money. So when we're talking about standing against moving money, we're talking about money that moves you out of the will of God. And that's why it's titled Moving Money. The world's desire is to move you away from the will of God. The devil does not want you to do the will of God, because if you do the will of God, you are dangerous to his kingdom. He knows that. And so he's going to dangle the old carrot before you and say, Shane, come get the money. You could be a U of A star. I got six figures for you, Shane. Just leave the will of God and come here, Shane. Shane, you want the money, don't you, Shane? Yes, I want the money. And that's what we do. Hey, what am I saying? Standing against moving money. Are some moves for money bad? Yes. When are the moves bad? When they take you and I out of the will of God. Money has the capability to move us away from the will of God. Notice this. If we let it. Can money make you move away from the will of God? Can it make you? No, you choose to. It cannot make you. Now, it can lure you and entice you really good. You can say, oh, but if I had money. Joshua already told me, Dad, when I get to the NBA, I'm going to buy your mama a house. Well, let's just graduate school first, son. You know, now, if you want to buy me a house, amen. I'm going to buy you a Maserati. Well, you know, I'm fine with a van. I really don't need a Maserati, you know. But if I buy it, what you going to do? Sell it and get me a van, amen. No, I wouldn't do that. Amen. All right. I said, son, if you buy me something like that, who's going to pay the insurance on the Maserati? He said, Dad, I will. Amen. Praise the Lord. G2 said, Dad, if I buy it, will you drive it? Of course I'll drive it, as long as you keep the finances up on it. Amen. Money has the capability to move us out of the will of God if we let it, hence the title, Moving Money. The will of God will vary based on a person's knowledge of God's word. Go over to James chapter 4 real quick. Let me show you what I'm talking about. A person just gets saved. Do we expect them to know everything about the will of God? No. James chapter 4 and verse 17. And who's that? Sir, are you there already? Read that for me. All right, so the will of God is going to vary based upon the person's knowledge of the word and the will of God. It says, to him that knoweth to do good and to do it not, to him it is what? Sin. Now, the person that doesn't know any better, that gets taken out of the will of God, will he get damaged just the same? Yes, he will. He just doesn't understand that this is the will of God that he's out of. Amen. He just thinks that, well, I got all these bills and I got all this, and so I might as well do this. And he doesn't understand that he's out of the will of God yet because he doesn't know any better. But the person that knows better, then they're in trouble because they know better. Amen. That's like your child. You tell your child, okay, don't go over and squirt the hand cleanser here. And they know not to do that. And they go over and squirt the hand cleanser. Guess what? They knew better. Okay. Now, you never told your child anything. They go up and squirt the hand cleanser. Amen. Can you really get on them about that? No, because you didn't tell them not to. But the minute you tell them, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. So when it comes to moving money, it really depends on the person's understanding of the word of God, because the will of God is different from person to person. Go over to John with me in chapter 21. And we're just setting this up for tonight, for next week. John 21. And notice what happens here in the Gospel of John. Is the will of God the same for everybody? No. The will of God is not the same for everybody. John chapter 21, and certain principles are, amen, but the will of God is not the same for everybody. Notice John 21 and 21. Pastor White, read verse 21 and 22 for me. No, 21 and 22. Follow thou me. Why did he say that? Because in verse 19, Jesus said, I want you to do something for me. And he said, when he had spoken, he said, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, I said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? What is he going to do? He said, don't worry what he's going to do. So the will of God for you may be different from somebody else. So you can't look at somebody else and say, hey, you're out of the will of God because you're chasing after moving money. You can't say that because you don't know what the will of God is for them. Amen. Now, are there certain things that are just sinful? Yes. Now, we may be able to say that. But the will of God for everybody at different times is different based upon what they know about the word of God. Will y'all agree with me? Amen. Person that knows something to do and to do it not to him, it is sin. OK, and so we're setting this up here. You and I need to stand against moving money from the will of God and shine as lights in the world. Let's go over to Matthew 13:22. We'll come back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22. Jesus here speaking a bit about riches. And notice what he says here in chapter 13 and verse number 22. Fred, read that for me, 22.
He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
All right, he's talking about the parable of the sower here, and he says, as he's sowing the word, he's talking about how people hear. He says down there, this person that received the seed, he says down in the thorns, he said he hears the word, but then he says, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness means delusion or something misleading, or it can trick you. All right. And he said the deceitfulness of riches. Riches there means wealth, fullness, possessions, or abundance. Choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. Let me ask you this question. What is it about riches that make them so deceitful? Or why are they so deceitful? Why are riches so deceitful? Why can't I just have a bunch of money? What's wrong with that? Why is riches so deceitful? Brother, we get covetous, yes. Brother Neil? Coming to go.
We can't depend on them, but unfortunately we lean on that.
Amen. Amen. And that's the whole crux of it. They're here today and gone tomorrow. The Proverbs say they have wings. They fly away. I remember when Hurricane Katrina came, my dad had about close to $800,000 in stocks. And it was gone just like that. $800,000. And my mom kept saying, pull some of that out, Al. Pull some of that out and put it in safe. Pull it out. He said, I'm going to let it ride. I'm going to let it ride. $800,000. Katrina came and just like that, it all was gone. No, he didn't. He had it in several different places, but the places he had it in were affected by Katrina. Amen. Because he had one of those, what do you call them when you got different stuff? What do you call that stuff? Mutual funds, where you had a bunch here and a bunch there. And he had it all over there, but a total of $800,000, and Katrina came and wiped it all out. That's the money he was going to come out here and buy a house with. So I was hurt. Yeah, I was hurt. Amen. But the deceit, why? Because they're unpredictable. Go to Proverbs 23 and verse 5 real quick. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Again, moving money. Proverbs 23 and verse number 5. And notice what it says in verse number 4. Labor not to be what? Rich. How many of y'all wanted to be rich when you were young? I did. I said, I'm going to be rich. My dad said, why you want to be rich? I said, so I don't have to do nothing and buy everything I want. I was going to be rich. I said, I want to be rich. I told you I worked for an orthodontist and I saw how much he got from one patient. I said, give me 14 patients. I can retire in 2 years. Amen. I'm through. It's been about 14 years in college. Amen. To retire after two. Most of us wanted to be rich when we were younger. But then as we got older, we began to see what happens with money. Money makes you do some strange things that you normally wouldn't do if you didn't have it. Amen. How many of you ever had a surplus of money and you went out and bought things that you normally wouldn't buy if you didn't have that money? Amen. It'll trick you into doing some things. And then the money is gone and you think, man, that thing broke. And it's no good. It's outdated. I got me an iPhone 12, not iPhone 14 is out. What do I want now? He says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Notice verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is what? Not? It's not there? For riches certainly make themselves what? wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I remember when I first came back to the States, Pastor White, I had my Jetta. I had just bought my Jetta, had it fixed up, man, windows tinted and everything. Went over to go register it, and they said, that'll be $3,000. I said, They said, well, you never pay taxes when you're overseas. I said, And your point is, they said, well, now you got to pay import taxes. I said, no, I don't. They said, yes, you do. They said, well, who's going to pay for it? I said, the government's going to pay for it. They said, no, they're not. They said, you got to pay taxes on that vehicle. $3,000, Pastor White. I thought, what y'all think? I made of money. They said, well, you're going to pay them taxes or you can get rid of that car. Amen. I had to give up. Guess what? My money started going. It was going fast, too. And I thought, oh, the little bit of money I thought I had, amen, gone. And then worst thing happened. We got in an accident, pulled the bumper off. And my insurance went up. I could have left that car in Germany. Amen. What happened? Wings. I didn't plan on paying $3,000, and I didn't plan on the bumper, and I didn't plan on that insurance. Pastor White. I hope it's there. I'm going to see it when I get over in glory land. Amen. Say, Lord, where are my $3,000 at? Amen. He said, we invested that. Amen. So what am I saying here? It has wings. He says it's going to fly toward heaven. So we don't want to vest everything on money. Because money moves. And it can make you move. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. And we're just going to just give you a couple quick things here. We're going to stop. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Just talking about moving money. And notice verse number 17 in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Charge them that are what? Rich in the world. So y'all don't have to worry about that. None of y'all have to worry about that because y'all not rich. Amen. If you are, you should be tithing. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor what? Trust in what? Uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. Uncertain means exactly what it means. Uncertain. They're not reliable. Pastor White? Uncertain, amen. Charge them the rich in this world, they be not high-minded, no trust in uncertain riches, but in what? The living God, who giveth us what? Richly all things to enjoy. He said, don't trust in the riches. He said, trust in the living God who gives you richly all things. Amen. Whatever he gives you, he's going to give you richly. Amen. So I don't have to worry about that car. I don't have to worry about those taxes that I had to pay. Well, I had to worry about it then. Amen. I have to worry about it now. Because he says down there, we trust in the living God who giveth us richly. Amen. But I don't want to trust in uncertain riches. And so let me just give you a few things here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go back over there in verse number 3. Paul is writing here to Timothy. And he's encouraging him as a pastor at Ephesus. 1:3. And notice what he says down there, chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He said, you know, make sure you set things straight, that people aren't teaching the wrong doctrine. And come over to chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. He said, Timothy, I want to make sure that you know what you're supposed to do. He said, now, I may take a while to get there, but you make sure that you teach and preach the word of God. It is the house of God. This is how you behave yourself. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. By the time you come over here, chapters 1 through 5 detail different challenges that Timothy was going to have to face in the local church. Everything from, you name it, that he's talking about in chapters 1 through 5. By the time you come to chapter 6, Paul's opening up in verses 1 and 2 dealing with the servant-master relationship. And then when you come down to chapter number 6, verses 3 through 5, he's dealing with some false teachings. And one of the false teachings was verse number 5. And notice what he says. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind. I'm in the wrong chapter here. Yeah, no, that's right. Amen. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. He says, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And so he had to deal with this. Somebody in the church obviously was perpetrating that the more you got, the more godly you were. And by the way, in the Old Testament, was that pretty much true? If you had God's favor, oftentimes you had material wealth. You think of Abraham, you think of Isaac, you think of Jacob, you think of them. Noah, they had possessions. And possessions in the Old Testament equated God's favor. Not always, because you look at Job. But then Job got it all back. But oftentimes that was in the Old Testament. You come over to the New Testament, somebody's still teaching that gain is godliness. If you gain, you've got God's favor. Is that true? Then all of us, then we must be out of the will of God. Amen. All of us out of the will of God because we don't have gain. Yes, sir. That's Creflo Dollar. That's right. Amen. That's those crowds and this guy. I'm not calling any names. But y'all don't have to. Amen. If you saw him once, you'll never forget his face. Amen. And so they were teaching that gain is godliness. Can you be poor and be godly?
Yes.
Yes. Can you be rich and be godly?
Yes.
Yes. Can you be poor and be ungodly?
Oh,
yes. Yes. Can you be rich and be ungodly?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. So it's got nothing to do with the money. It's got everything to do with us. And so somebody was teaching that gain was godliness. And so Paul had to deal with him down there in verse number six, chapter three and verse number six. He said, these guys are teaching that gain is godliness. And notice what he says there in verse number five again. Supposing that gain is godliness from such what? Withdraw thyself. Why do I need to withdraw myself from somebody like that? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpened counsel. Oh, look what I got over here, Pastor White. Just by going over here with these folk over here, man, I increased my money fourfold. What'd you have to do? Well, I just had to help that old lady across the street with that bag. Well, she was a bank robber helping the criminals. And that's why they gave you the money. And you can get with the wrong crowd. He says, hey, look, withdraw thyself. Bonus verse six. Some were teaching gain was godliness or money getting or acquisition, which is gain, was godliness. And nothing wrong with gain, but it doesn't mean godliness. And so Paul lets Timothy know that, hey, godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice verse number six. But godliness or godlike qualities or characters or holiness or acting like God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's talk about that for a minute. Contentment. What is contentment? Being satisfied in a nutshell, being satisfied with what you have. That's contentment. You ever saw an uncontented baby? What are they like? Scream, cry. And what will they do if they don't get their way oftentimes? Pitch a fit. Or go to the child who has what they want. And what do they do? And take it. Or not even punch him. Just snatch it and then push him down. Give me this thing back. As adults, can we sometimes get that way? We're not going to go punch and stuff like that. I hope not. Amen. I hope not. But you know, you go to Walmart during Christmas time and what do you see? Fighting over the Xbox and the last thing on the shelf and punching and pulling and all that stuff. Hey, godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. Godlike characters. Why is contentment such a great gain? Now, by the way, the word contentment means self-satisfaction or satisfied or an ease of mind. Why would the Bible say that godliness with contentment is great gain? Why is that true? Why would that be true, that godliness is great gain, more than the riches? Sir? And what does God want us to be? If I'm not satisfied, I'm oftentimes going to be covetous. Not only I'm going to murmur and dispute, I'm going to be covetous, which is going to cause me to moving money out of the will of God because I want. And I want this. And so it moves me. So he lets Timothy know, Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. These folks are telling you that gain is godliness. He says, you get away from them because that's going to rub off on you. But godliness with contentment is great gain. He lets them know, we bought nothing into this world. And it's certain we can carry nothing out. Past what, I can't take the Jetta with me. Can't take it with me. You know, I can't take my Stacey Adams with me. I can't take my Hart Schaefer Mark suit with me. They can bury me in it. But guess what? Can't take it with me. I can't take my diamond ring with me. Okay, I don't have a diamond ring, but you know what I'm talking about. I can't take my money with me. What did they do? They buried Pharaoh with what?
All his riches.
All his riches. Why? Use it in the afterlife. Even took his servants too and killed them. Uh-huh. Had them in the afterlife too. So they buried Pharaoh with all his riches. And guess what? Within a century, the tomb was looted. They stole all the stuff. So when he comes to the afterlife, he ain't going to have nothing. So he thought he has an afterlife. Amen. And guess what? The Bible is clear. You go up or you go down. It ain't no in between. No purgatory for the Pharaoh. Amen. And so he begins to talk then over the next several verses about money. Verse 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. He says, be content if you got some food and you got some clothes to put on your back. He says, but they that will be rich, or they that want to be rich, he said, they fall. What do they fall? Into temptation. They're going to be led away and in a snare or a trap and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which do what? Drown men in destruction and perdition. We're going to pick it up next week right there. I wanted to just set it up for you to understand that you and I have got to stand against moving money. We have got to be content with what God has given us. Now, I'm not saying you can't have an aspiration to have a nicer home or a nicer car or some better slacks or a better pair of shoes. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we've got to be content with what we have and trust God to give us what we need. The Bible is clear what it says down there. Trust in the living God that giveth to us what? Richly all things. We've got to trust God, the living God, and not trust in the uncertain riches. Why? Hey, my $3,000 went. And I had plans for it, Pastor White. When that car accident happened, I had plans for that money too. And guess what? It went. I don't know about you. Don't put so much stock in the money that you have. Stock markets crash. Think about those people during the Exxon and all that stuff and the oil spill and all that. And the money that they thought they had, it left and it was gone. And so we've got to be careful as Christians that we can shine, because the world's mentality is the more you get, the better you are. And money's not going to make you any better. Money's not going to make us any godlier. Money is not going to make us anything but a status symbol. And last time I checked, God's not interested in status. He's interested in godliness. And godliness with contentment is great gain. Can we desire to have some great things and some nice things? That's not a problem. But if you don't check that desire, you can become unbalanced. And the money can move you out of the will of God. Is there anything wrong with money? Nothing wrong with money at all. But what money wants to do is attract you away from what the will of God is for your life. The devil has a plan, and his plan is in the world's money making. And he'll show you bright lights and glitter and say, if you got money, look what you can do. But some of the richest people are some of the most miserable people. Some of the most miserable people. You talk to them. Miserable. Let God speak to our hearts tonight and ask God, say, God, help me to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Help me to, Lord, trust in you, the living God, that giveth to me richly all things. Whatever I need, Lord, you're going to give it to me. I don't have to worry about running and chasing after this. The deceitfulness of riches. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Father, help us tonight to understand that there's nothing wrong with money in and of itself. But money can make us move away from that which we know is right. Well, there's so many people that we know that have gone after money and have fled from the will of God. Help us to search your word that we can know what your will is for us. When we least expect it, the money that we think that we've got saved away can fly away. But Lord, help us to trust in the living God. Lord, you give us richly all things. And Lord, as long as you're rich, we don't have to ever worry about being poor. And thank you, Lord, that you own a cattle among 1,000 hills. And so whatever we need, you can richly bless us with. And we don't need to run after moving money, but remain content in the will of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Minister to our hearts tonight as we prepare to dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen.